The epistle for the Feast of the Circumcision is to St. Titus. Beloved, the grace of God our Savior has appeared to all men, instructing us in order that, rejecting ungodliness and worldly lusts, we may live temperately and justly and piously in this world, looking for the blessed hope and glorious coming of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity, and cleanse for Himself an acceptable people, pursuing good works. Thus, speak and exhort in Christ Jesus our Lord. Please rise for the continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. At that time, when 8 days were fulfilled for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, the name given him by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Thus concludes the words of the Holy Gospel. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. After 8 days, the child was circumcised, and his name was called Jesus. From the knife of the circumcision to the nails of the cross, let us meditate on the deep union of hearts between our Lord in His Sacred Heart and Our Lady in her Immaculate Heart. Their hearts welded spiritually together, ordered so for our redemption. In this feast, we recall the first recorded public religious act of our Lord. In the feast of His birth on Christmas, everyone went to Him. In the feast now of the circumcision, His passion begins, and He comes to us to save us, the meaning of His name. So today's feast, the feast of the circumcision, and by extension, the purification of Our Lady, ought to temper the joy of Christmas, of the Nativity, with the suffering of the cross. The union of our Lord's and Our Lady's hearts, then, we see in a number of ways. We'll look at four. First, in their hiddenness. For us, we'll call it modesty. For our Lord and Our Lady, their hiddenness, the hiddenness of the Feast of the Circumcision. We see this, that their sinless hearts are cloaked or veiled or hidden in the rituals of the old law. The circumcision for a male child and the purification of Our Lady after childbirth, neither our Lord or our Lady needed these rituals. These rituals were for those who were sinful and they were sinless. They, our Lord and our Lady, did not need these rituals for themselves. But it reveals in their submission to these rituals their redemptive work and their uniting their hearts for our redemption via these rituals of purification. So they remain hidden in these rituals. Hidden because their submission hides them from the evil one. Hides their true identity. The evil one is left to think that our Lord and our Lady are like every other Jew, every other sinful Jew. So by submitting to these, a twofold purpose, their identity is hidden so that our Lord can reveal His identity to the world and ultimately to the evil one as well when He decides to reveal it. When and where He chooses that mode. So they remain hidden, their identities. For us then, by extension, this modesty and cloaking and veiling of our Lord and our Lady in this public manifestation and suffering of our Lord, for us we see this lived in the virtue of modesty. a hidden or veilingness of ourselves. Modesty first maintains spiritual order for men or women, yes, and that cultivates an interior modesty so that a soul then reveals himself and herself to another human being in time when they choose to. And ultimately, modesty then that we live veils us from even the evil one who has no access to our souls. Only God does. We veil ourselves even from the evil one. Modesty then on the human level, but as we see today, ultimately on the spiritual level, protecting ourselves from even the evil one. Their sinless hearts cloaked and veiled in the dual movement, veiling themselves, but now moving toward their mutual work for our redemption by uniting themselves to those who need these rituals, that is, us. We see their union of hearts in hiddenness and modesty. Secondly, in long suffering. Our Lord is born without birth pangs, and 8 days later, he receives pain. Our Lady also receives pain. Our Lord suffers today in his circumcision as merely a week plus old. He suffers physically, corporeally in his body, and he bleeds. The first of two times recorded that he bleeds, circumcision then at the cross. Our Lady also begins her suffering, her dolors, now at the circumcision, as she perceives the depth of her son's suffering. Both our Lord and our Lady, in their virginal, sinless hearts and bodies, endure suffering that we cannot even fathom. We cannot even fathom. Sin tempers to a large degree the suffering that we can feel physically and interiorly. But their virginal sinless bodies are perfect, and hence they suffer perfectly and most painfully. The circumcision then is our Lord's first move to the cross, and our Lady's first pain of having our Lord taken away from her side, as our Lord is taken away as a baby to be circumcised, prefiguring his taken away to go to the cross. The knife and the nails ring as the beginning and the fulfillment of our Lord's suffering for both our Lord and our Lady. For us, the long suffering is an excellent way to test the spirit. A monk who's now an abbot gave a retreat on the testing of spirits. And something we need to do often to just kind of test those inner promptings that we get during the day. One good test of that is to test that by asking, does this spirit move me in some way to embrace suffering? Our Lord was moved 8 days after birth to embrace suffering with Our Lady. Does the spirit that we would feel, does it move us to suffering? If no, it's not of God. If yes, it could be of God. Probably is. But if no, we know to immediately banish that thought or that inner prompting. The union of the Sacred and Immaculate Hearts in their hiddenness, in their long suffering. Thirdly, in their obedience. At the very beginning of our Lord's life, both our Lord and our Lady are obedient to the old law. The old law written by our Lord. In the middle of our Lord's life, at the loss and finding of our Lord in the temple, our Lord is manifestly obedient to Our Lady and to Saint Joseph. In fact, this is the one public action of our Lord's middle life, of his hidden years, that Scripture records. He is obedient, St. Luke writes. And the obedience then culminates in the end of our Lord's life, of his earthly life. as at the cross Our Lady is obedient to Our Lord, who is obedient to the Father. So we see then this template of obedience that is manifested and recorded in our Lord's life. We see this template being laid in this feast of the circumcision, the beginning of our Lord's public manifestation of His suffering. For us then, to obey is to imitate Christ and is to imitate Our Lady. For children, this is perhaps the greatest virtue for you to learn as children, to obey your parents, to obey your older siblings, to do what they want you to do, when they want you to do it, and how they want you to do it. So necessary that this virtue is manifested 8 days after our Lord's birth by both our Lord and our Lady, obeying the law that our Lord is rewriting in His very person, yet they're obedient to that. What obedience? All of us to obey superior, all lawful superiors, to obey even our boss at work in a spirit of obedience, in all that our boss is capable of directing us in, to obey our boss in the same spirit of obedience. The union of hearts in modesty or hiddenness, in long-suffering and obedience. And lastly, in receptivity. In receptivity. Our Lady in her Immaculate Heart receives the Holy Ghost. She painlessly gives birth to our Lord at the cross. And her birthing of the members of the body of Christ and the painful birth of the members of the body of Christ, that is us, begins on the Feast of the Circumcision. Painlessly birthing our Lord who is the head, now painfully beginning the birth of the members of the body of Christ, joined to our Lord's passion. She receives the Holy Ghost and begins the birthing. The Sacred Heart, our Lord's Sacred Heart, receives, in the virtue of receptivity, receives the knife and receives the nails. So significant that He receives these. We do not call the passion of our Lord the action of our Lord. Not the axio of our Lord, but the passio of our Lord. And we call that the passio. It hearkens to His receptivity. Consider the passion. He receives all of the whips and all of the nails. He receives the cross. He receives help. He receives all of that as He begins that receptivity of suffering in the circumcision. He receives that so we can be molded into the most necessary primal virtue of receptivity, but now of divine life. But now of divine life. It must be received. It can only be received. It cannot be grasped, as even Adam and Eve found out. It must be received. And can only be received. That's the only mode of gaining eternal life. So we see this receptivity of suffering beginning in this Feast of the Circumcision. We see receptivity, for example, in the last Gospel. Most every Mass, the last Gospel is read. And St. John makes this point. He uses the Greek word lamboni, which is to receive. And it's translated in a positive and in the negative sense in the last Gospel. For example, it's to those who do receive, recipierunt, receive the power, the dunamin, the power to become children of God. And it's listed twice in the last Gospel in its negative sense. St. John wanted to hammer home this virtue to us. He lists it twice in the negative sense. To those, the darkness did not understand it, comprehenderunt. The darkness did not understand it. That's the same verb, like the darkness did not receive it, that is the light. And also the world, non recipierunt, the world did not receive the light, the word. So the receptivity, the last virtue, if you will, what we hear at the Mass, a theme of the last gospel, St. John is, you know, crying out, we must receive. We see what happens when we don't receive the world in the darkness. We see what happens when we do receive, that is the dunamine, or the power to become sons of God. This last virtue then of the Mass is one of the first virtues manifested by our Lord and our Lady in her conception and now in their obedience and in the reception of suffering for both of them, beginning on the Feast of the Circumcision. On this eighth day of our Lord's earthly life, we see this spiritual welding, spiritual union of our Lord and our Lady's hearts, united for our redemption, in their mutual work of our redemption. And we see this manifested. And may we live in modesty. May we live in long suffering. May we be strengthened in obedience, and may we be strengthened to receive. After 8 days, the child was circumcised, and his name was called Jesus. Sacred Heart of Jesus, have mercy on us. Immaculate Heart of Mary, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.